Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
You know, I know there's someone here that would like to give a real big shout of joy. I don't know if you know it or not, but Doug Logan, he had a rough weekend last weekend and rushed to the hospital. And I'm not going to say anything else. He's here with us today, and he's going to tell you how good God is.
I was doing pretty good when I came in here last Sunday. I thought I was. But by Monday, I was in the emergency room, from the emergency room to ICU. And it was frightening to my wife because she sat in the parking lot waiting on me for 4 hours, and they wouldn't let her talk to me. And then they had to send her home and tell her she could come back the next day at 3 o'clock to see me. And that was frightening to me, too. But they took me up, and they hooked me up, and I had everything hooked up to me that I could have named. Stuff up my nose and everything where else, and ain't nobody told me nothing that was going on with me. They done took a COVID test on me and said that wasn't it. And they went on and checked me, but I kept telling them it was my throat. I couldn't hardly talk, and I couldn't hardly speak. But they wanted to do their testings, and they had me hooked up, and next thing I know, I was hooked up in ICU on all of these tubes and all of the things, and I think Vicky must have come home and told the pastor, we need to pray for Doug. And I kind of felt that I was in bad shape because I couldn't talk. I couldn't tell them what was going on with me. 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know who all was praying, but I know that prayer works. Because I woke up praying at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was praying, and I was thinking about all the people that was praying for me. And I start praying, and I asked the orderly that was there, I said, can I get up? He said, you can't get up. You got all of the stuff hooked up to you. I said, I need to get up. He said, you feel better? I said, I feel a lot better. He unhooked all that stuff from me. I got up. I said, can I have something to wash up with? He said, yes. He gave me something to wash up. I said, can I have a drink of water? He gave me a drink of water. And he said, you do feel better. I said, I feel great. I need to get out of here. He said, you can't leave. You can't leave. I said, I know I need to get out of here. He said, well, we'll send you down to see the nose specialist in the morning and let them run the tube up and check you and we'll see what's wrong with you. But I stayed up the rest of the night. I didn't even go back to sleep because I felt so good. They sent me down to see the INT. He ran tubes up my nose, and he was showing me on his camera what was wrong with me and what had happened to me and how it was healed immediately. He said, because this is the picture they took of you yesterday, and this is the picture they took of you today, and you are healed. I'm sending you home. I was so excited. I got back upstairs and I started getting my clothes and getting them on before the nurses and everybody told me anything. They was wondering why I was dressing. I started getting everything on, and my wife was, I said, tell my wife that I'm getting out. They said, we'll tell her. They never told her. When she saw me, I was standing there with my clothes on. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going on. I went back to the hospital on Thursday morning to get them to check my feet, and I came back, and on Friday, me and the guy was out in my yard working, praising the Lord, magnifying God with some of the guys here and out of the ashes. I know God is good, so I want to tell you that we are in a place where we need people praying for us. I know that somebody was praying. I started to feel so much better at 3 o'clock in the morning. I could have shouted all over that place, but they wouldn't unhook me. I want to say this one thing, and I don't want to bring a name while I'm here because God pressed my heart to say that. I want everybody here that can say a prayer. Well, we have a person that's suffering through wife and husband problem. And I believed if everybody would pray here, God can move in that behalf. Will you all say a little prayer under your breath? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
God is good. God is so good. Praise report, another praise report. Out of the ashes, had 5 salvations and 5 baptisms yesterday. That is just absolutely awesome. God is still on the throne. God is still speaking to people, and people are still listening, and people are still coming into the kingdom. And we're excited about all that. And Vicky called me. It must have been 6:30 that day, that night, that evening. And she said, she was real shaken. And she told me the story about being there. She was in the parking lot in the car. They wouldn't let her in. She sat out there for about 4 or 5 hours. And then she had to come home. And she said, I just got home. And you could tell she was a little uneasy and a little shaken, even though her faith wasn't shaken. But so we prayed for her, you know, for her to have peace. And then I said, well, what do you know from the doctors? And she said, I don't know nothing. I haven't seen or talked to anybody. And I said, so he's in the VA in Asheville? Yes. And I said, I'll call you back. So we hung up, and I called the VA and told them who I was. I went through 3 or 4 people and got to the place, the floor where he was, and he was in the ER at that time. And I said, I'm his pastor, and I know you're not going to let me come, and I know you're not going to let me talk to him. But I am his pastor. They said, well, we appreciate you calling. And I said, well, I'm not calling for me. I'm calling for his wife. I said, his wife was in the parking lot for 4 or 5 hours. She's heard nothing. Y'all had him for, I think, about 6 or 7 hours, something like that. And I said, y'all have had him for several hours. She don't know anything. She needs to know something. She needs a personal phone call. And here's her number. And her name's Victoria. So you call this number, she'll answer the phone, and she needs you to tell her how her husband's doing. It was silent. And I said, are you okay with that? Yes, sir. We really are. And I said, so when will you call her? When? I said, yes, sir. When will you call her? And he said, next 20 minutes. And I said, I'm going to take your word. I said, but I'm going to call her and find out if you called. Yes, sir, we understand. So it was a little bit later I called her and I said, Vicky, and she sounded calm. And I said, did you get a phone call? I sure did. And I said, did you get one from VA? I sure did. And I said, well, how did they say my brother was doing? And then she began to tell me she was just so grateful, and she was able to rest, and she was able to be at peace, you know, over the, it's one thing, you know, you can trust God, you really can, but when somebody can give you information, it means a lot. It really does. But anyway, we just have to intervene sometimes and get some things going. Wear red next week. We're going to have a candlelight service. We will have Sunday school. We will have a candlelight service next week. We want everybody to wear red, and we'll just brighten up the place with his presence. How about that? Because I'm bringing him. Are you?
Yes.
I'm going to bring him with me. And he can show out and in and through me anytime he wants to, and I hope you really feel the same way. It's a good day today. It's a day that he made, and it's a day that we have an opportunity to rejoice. So let's rejoice in this day. Let's just rejoice in it. Yes, Lord. We want to thank everyone for taking the angel tree tags, and make sure you bring them. If you didn't bring them today, make sure you bring them by tomorrow, because there's a lot of sorting and putting things together that Miss Rita does, and it takes her about a day to do all that. But then we'll have the parents to come and collect them on Wednesday. But make sure you bring them tomorrow. But I want to say thank you for everyone that participated in it. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit about what we sang about in that last song, A Thrill of Hope. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. The title of it is going to be Kingdom Hope Has a Voice That Speaks Hope. Kingdom Hope has a voice that speaks hope. You know, we live in a lot of chaos today, a lot of turmoil, a lot of darkness, a lot of things going on that we don't understand, you know, but we still trust God in the midst of all of it. But you know, this was not the only time that chaos was on this earth. At the very beginning, it was chaos. It was empty. It was void of anything other than the chaotic. It was just a chaos. Nothing was formed. It had no form. But that is where the Holy Spirit moved and hovered over all of the chaos. And then words were spoken. Listen to this. Words were spoken, and the earth began to be formed. Light came into being, and order came, because he said he separated the darkness from the light. So you and I need to know that even in the midst of chaos, that's where the Holy Spirit can do his best work. Amen. It really is. That's when God can do his best work. Jesus does his best work through the chaos in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. And it's very chaotic in this world right now. But we need to take hope that it hasn't gotten the Lord down. He's not depressed. He is still king. He is still on the throne. He is still God of all gods, the Lord of all lords. There's no one above him. Amen. So they'll all have to bow their knee to him. That's who we serve. That's who's inside us. And we need to understand that even when Jesus was born, there was a lot of chaos that was going. There's a lot of things going on, and a lot of things that were of darkness. Even at Jesus' birth, even, you know, within the first 2 years, I mean, the king said, hey, kill every male, kill them if they're 2 years and younger. And that's pretty chaotic. That's pretty dark. It's pretty evil. But see, that's in the midst of Jesus being born and growing up for the first 2 years. See, so this earth is not a foreign to chaos. This earth is not, and the people of God are not foreign to turmoil. Really? I mean, yeah, really. I mean, the first church was extremely persecuted. And the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit's come and revival breaks out. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit falls, and thousands, people by the thousands, are coming to Jesus. You know, God moves in the midst of the things that you think, where is he? But he is right here in the midst of it, in you, with you, in me, with me, to be able to turn the thing in a direction that gives him glory when no one else can do anything. You know, miracles are outside of the norm. And it's outside, miracles are outside mine and your power. You can't do a miracle without him. Amen. It's outside of the norm, and it's outside of the box of who we are and what we do. Completely outside of the box. That's the reason we must turn to him and have hope. Because the Bible talks about us setting our hope. Hope is not something that you just let linger. Hope is not something that you just let flow. No, hope is something you set. You set your hope. The Bible says that you set and you fix your hope. And you fix your hope, you set your hope on God. Amen? And see, that's something you just can't play around with. And over in Hebrews, it says, Hebrews chapter 1, it says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, says, now faith. Everybody say, now faith. Now. See, it's not a yesterday's faith, it's a now faith. Now faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, you need to understand this, that without hope, let me say this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, which is rhema, the rhema of God, the speaking of God. Faith comes by hearing the rhema of God. Faith comes. But faith is, how many of you ever heard anybody say that they have faith, but they don't see, you don't see any activity from their faith? You know, have you ever been that way? Have we ever been that way? You know, we can say we have faith, but it's sort of dormant in our activity of faith. See, what's missing is this, is hope. Hope is the pathway for faith to be activated. That's what faith, now faith is the substance of things prayed for. Hoped for. So hope activates the faith that you've been given from hearing the rhema of God. A lot of people have faith, but they're not active in their faith. Their faith is like dormant. You know, we'll say, yeah, I believe. Well, you believe, and you have faith. Yeah, I got faith. But yet, you don't see much living out of the faith because, and the reason for that is because hope is missing. Hope activates the faith. That's what it says. So, faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. That's the reason hope is very vital to our faith and very vital to our Christian walk. And, that's the reason the words of this song says, the thrill of hope. I mean, they were thrilled in the hope that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming to save this world. A weary world rejoices from what? The hope that was given them by the word that was spoken. Amen? So you hear that? So if you're sluggish in your faith, if you're sluggish in activating your faith, you need to find your hope. And then you need to see what you hope in. See, hope to the world is wish. I wish. So that is not kingdom hope. You can wish a lot of things. But see, this thing of hope has the biblical hope, the kingdom hope, is you having an earnest expectation of knowing that what you hope for is going to happen. That's the reason it's set. That's the reason it's fixed. Hope's not up and down. Hope should be fixed. We may be up and down, in and out, but hope's not. Y'all with that? Y'all got it? And so our confident expectation of how things are going to work out. How things are going to work out. How do you know how things are going to work out?
Because the Bible says so.
Yeah. This thing's going to work out because what's happening is God has spoken something. See, our hope is not a wish. Our hope is a confident expectation that this thing, whatever the situation, is going to work out. Because the Bible says that the hope is an anchor
to your soul. Not to your spirit, to your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Hope, it didn't say faith is the anchor. It said hope is the anchor to your soul. It helps anchor. It helps hold it in line. It helps, even through storms, they drop the anchor way down deep to keep the weightiness of the anchor down so the ship is not tossed and torn apart. Let me read you that. I sort of got ahead of myself on that, but let me read you where that is. I'm going to read you this one. It's Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to read it out of the Message translation, but I want you to hear this. Hebrews chapter 6, 17 through 19. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word. Boy, I tell you what, that is. When God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promises are likewise unchangeable. God wanted to guarantee his word. What did he guarantee it with? His word. Well, his promises are guaranteed by what? His word. Then he goes on and says this. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. I heard what he said. And my hope is set on what he said. My hope is set. It's fixed on what he said because he does not lie. That's good stuff, isn't it? It just renews your hope. Then he goes on, he said, we have run to God and I ran to God for my very life. I don't know about you. It took, I was only eight, but I remember coming to God knowing how destitute I was in my living at 8 years old. We ran to God and for this very reason, we grab hold of the promise of hope with both hands and never let go. You never let go of hope. The enemy wants you to. But you never let go of hope. Now watch this. It's an anchor. It's unbreakable. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline. Watch this. Reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God. I'm like, that passage, it does me well to read that out of the Message. Why is that? It begins to put life into me in a way that says, wait a minute, I don't know whatever, all these things that are appearing, all these things that the chaos and everything else that's going on. He said, you reach this lifeline, this anchor, is you're able to reach right past whatever it is because you've already grabbed hold of it. You've grabbed hold of what he said. You reach right past the appearances right into the very presence of God. My goodness. He's just awesome. 1 Timothy 4 says, fix your hope on the living God, who is the Savior, who is the deliverer of all men. Fix it. Fix your hope on, and he didn't say God, he said your living God. He's still alive. He's still alive. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, it says, he has great mercy and has caused us to be born again to a living hope. You've been born again to a living God, but you've been born again to a living hope. You know what that word living means? Does not ever end. That's what that word means. It never ends. This living hope never ends. You're never without hope. Because hope is always there. You may not be hanging on to that hope, but hope is there. It hasn't left you. See, hope is a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ whom we have set, who have fixed our hope in him. See, when we begin to go through difficult things and see things in a way that we're scratching our heads and how is this ever going to work out? What did God say? Hope in God. Hope in what he said. Hope in the one that can deliver all men. And then from that hope, it will activate faith for you to take action. So a lot of us wants our faith to be more active. It's not going to be more active until you have hope, until you connect, your expectation to what he said and never let go. See, there's a false hope the Bible talks about in Psalm 33, verse 17. He said a horse is a false hope for victory. A horse is a false hope for victory. Nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. What is he saying here? What is the false hope? False hope is you depending on natural strength instead of his word. You don't have the strength. I don't have the strength. Nothing in this earth has the strength to give us victory. That is false hope. The Bible also says this. It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Everybody knows this one. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Would you like to know what that means? I've heard a lot of things that I've heard people say that it meant. But I'm going to tell you what it means from the Greek. Are you ready? It said this thing about hope deferred. This word deferred means drawing from the flesh. Hope that is drawn from the flesh, that is activated by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God, not by the Word of God. He said, that is deferred hope. Hope that is depending upon the flesh, he said, will make the heart, this word heart means your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. What you think, what you feel, and what you choose. It will make your soul sick. Depending upon the hope of the flesh will make your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, it'll make you sick. Now, what is that sickness? You want to know? Here is the sickness. It means to wear yourself out by oppression. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, so that just means people get depressed. And it really doesn't mean that. You can be depressed. But what he's saying, he said, this deferred hope is not hope that's gone. This is a hope that's trusting in the flesh of man's arm, man's hand, what man can do. When that hope is deferred to that, he said, your mind, how you think, how you feel, and what you say, what you think and what you say, will be sick. In other words, you'll wear yourself out because you're hoping in something that won't come true. He said it'll wear you out. Matter of fact, Daniel 7:25 said he will speak against, the enemy will speak out against the Most High and will wear down the saints. So this is the New Testament thing of what the Old Testament was saying. The enemy wants to wear out the saints. Well, how's he doing that? Deferring hope, getting people not to hope in what God has said, but get them to hope in flesh, what man can do. That's the reason you cannot put your hope in the government. Why is it? It's flesh. I'm not saying there's not godly leaders in it. I'm not saying that at all. But you can't depend on the government to save you, to deliver you. He's the only deliverer. And therein lies our hope. Always, right? All right, then we go on. It says, if you don't have hope, you are strangers. If you're not having hope, you are strangers to his covenant promises. Strangers to his covenant promises with no hope. That's over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. So when you don't have hope, hope is not in you, you're not going to be activating your faith, even though you say you have faith. You're not going to be able to do any works. You're not going to be able to step out in faith because there's no hope. But when you have your hope anchored, it will activate the faith that you have. So when you don't have the faith, it will cause you to dial things down to common sense. You ever been guilty of that? All of a sudden you got faith, and you don't know about this thing called hope, and you're not hoping like you should. You're not anchored, and then you begin to dial things down about, well, common sense says this. Well, this is the reason. No, no. See, we try to do that to explain why we're not living an extraordinary faith life. We make human excuses for not living that life. How many of you ever made an excuse for not being full of faith in somebody? I mean, I have. I know what I'm not doing is I'm not anchoring my hope. You know, then that way I'm blown a little bit here and there. And also it will cause us to change or reduce the assignment to what we can only do. Now, I think I can do that. So that's the assignment now. Every job that he's given you and I to do, everything, every commission that he's put upon us is impossible without him. Everything, every assignment, everything that God has declared into your life, on your life, is impossible without him. It's true. It's going to take him. The Bible says that he is the author and the finisher, and he's everything in between of your faith. He is the one that gave you faith. The faith that he gave you is his. Not your own, it's his. That's interesting. So, but one of the things we need to do is as Christians, we need to reduce our options. Sometimes we just have too many options. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are my options here? What do you mean, what are your options? You know, I'm talking about the reality of life. He said, seek ye first. What does first mean? First. Have you ever sought the kingdom of God around number 50? I have. You know, I how can I figure this out? How can I do that? Like it was in a deacon's meeting, not here. It was in a deacon's meeting one time, and they was trying to figure out how to do this, what am I going to do? Can't do this that way. How are you going to do this? Can't do it. And one deacon says, well, I guess we need to pray about it. The other deacon said, has it come to that? we got this. We can figure this out. We can do this. And then they realize they can't do it. What do? They go... Then they start seeking. It wasn't first, but now it becomes first. Now I'm seeking God to figure this out. Seek ye first the kingdom. So we need to reduce our options. Amen. Hope is part of our armor. It says it's the helmet of salvation is the hope of salvation. So if you're losing some battles and you don't have hope, And it protects your thought life here, and that's what the Bible says. You know, this thing will impact your soul if you are not, you don't have your hope set on Him. We were born to have a significant life filled with hope. Listen to Romans 15, 13 out of the Phillips translation. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. We are to be a radiant people of hope with our entire life, not just when we go to church, our going to church time. No, our entire living should be radiant with hope in Him. We take it so much for granted, and we leave it a lot of times unfixed. And that's what the Lord is trying to say today to all of us. We have to fix the hope on what He said. No matter what the obstacles, no matter what the contradictions are, we need to walk through the contradictions with a steady view of our hope in what He said. Think about Mary. Listen, this was not written. It was written in the scrolls that the Savior is coming. But it's not written in the Bible, written in the scrolls about the angel coming. It's written now, but it wasn't when it happened. Do you hear me? It wasn't when it happened. The angel comes up, says, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. His name shall be called Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel announced to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." I mean, it's just easy. Hey, it's easy. Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You know, she said, "How in the world is this going? Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." It'll be the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. See, he throws that in just to let her know, look, she's already pregnant. She's 6 months pregnant. She's been with child for 6 months now. She was barren, and now she is in her 6th month, he says. Verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then it goes on, and Mary said, "Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word." See, do you see the hope? Yeah, I got something to tell you about this word nothing. You ready? This thing, nothing, it's two things put together. The first one is no. The other, when it says thing, that is the speaking of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. No rhema of God will be impossible for God. You hear me? See, it was being spoken. That's the fresh now word for Mary. And then he says, no rhema of, listen, it means no freshly spoken, no rhema of God will ever come to you that does not contain in its own ability to perform itself. You get a word from God? Are you hearing me? When you get a word from God, you say, okay, that's a word from God. It's a rhema. It's been spoken to me. And along with that rhema comes with its own ability to perform itself, to fulfill itself. Well, that's God. See, isn't it just, everything that God is telling us is activated with his ability to perform it. If it wasn't, Mary's going to scratch her head a little bit more and say, how in the world am I going to get pregnant without being with a man? No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because that word came, and with it came the ability to perform itself. Good, good, good. She doesn't stop there. Listen to this. She doesn't stop there. She runs. She makes haste after she says, be it unto me as you have spoken, according to your word. See, we all need to learn that phrase. Be it unto me as you have spoken. No matter what you're going through, be it unto me as you have spoken. Fix your hope on what he has spoken. But she made haste and she ran into, she ran over there where Elizabeth was. And the Bible says that Elizabeth spoke to her, because when she came in, she gave a greeting. And Elizabeth says this, for behold, when the sound of your greeting, listen to this, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. What was released? What was in her greeting? Hope. Hope. She was carrying the greeting of hope. And with that release of hope in her voice, the baby inside Elizabeth leaped with joy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If Mary had been pregnant in this day and time, she would have had all kind of voices saying, abort the baby. It was unplanned, so go to planned parenthood. Elizabeth, they would have told her, you're too old to have a baby. You need to go get rid of this thing. My Bible tells me that while in the womb, hope was being greeted, was being spoken, and it impacted the child that was inside Elizabeth. Their children, their babies, their humans, they are real life. Amen? Just had to throw that in. That wasn't part of the message, but it became part of it. So our voice, our hope has to have a voice. A weary world needs to rejoice. Amen. About what, they say? The thrill of hope. You can't spread the religion and thrill anybody. Routine religion does not impress a soul. I'm going to be honest with you. It don't even press the ones that are doing it. Oh, my, I got to close. I'm going to read this one, and then we'll close out. See, when you begin to, as soon as you set your hope, you know what you're going to have? A contradiction somewhere. See, do you think it was a legitimate word that came to Mary? Do you think it caused her conflict? Like, what are you doing? And then Joseph says, it caused her all kind of conflict, but it was a legitimate word. What'd she hang on to? What the rhema word for her was. She hung on to it. That's the reason she said, be it unto me as you have spoken. Romans 5, and we'll close. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. By entering through, and this is going to be out of the message again, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted, where God has always wanted us to be, set us right, he set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. Look at verse 2. And that's not all. Here's the rest of it. We threw open our doors to God and discovered at the same moment that he has already thrown open his doors to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand with God in right standing. Out in the wide open spaces of God, grace and glory, standing tall, shouting praise. Verse 3, there's more to come. Listen to this. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. Now, I'm not going to do that. Well, yes, we are. That's what we're supposed to. That's we the people. We his people. We shout praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles because we know how troubles can develop a passionate patience in us and how that patience will in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Listen to this. Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. Keeping us alert to whatever God will do next. And in alert expectation, hope, such expectancy, hope such as this, we're never felt feeling shortchanged. You never feel shortchanged. Quite the contrary. Now listen to this. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything that God generously pours into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't gather enough containers that will contain what he's about to pour out in our lives. Amen. Go get every bucket, every barrel, every cup, every container you got, and just gather them all up and say, all right, God, let us have. Well, you don't have enough. Get your neighbors. Go get that. Go to the Wilson's house. They got 5 kids and they got a bunch of stuff over there. I mean, they feed them. Just get all of it. He said, you can't gather enough containers to hold what he's going to pour in your life. That is a hope that we need to grab hold of and say, never again will I ever second guess and feel shortchanged from God. I will set my hope in what he said. And it will activate my faith to do what I'm supposed to do that he's asking me to do. And I won't turn back. Is that you? If you want to start that, if you want to say, yes, that's me, I want you to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet right now. We're going to close. Make your confession. It says you need to make a confession of your hope without wavering because he is faithful who promised. So you need to make a confession. You need to confess that you have hope. And that hope is from God, and you're setting your hope. Well, go ahead and confess it. Turn to somebody and say, I'm telling you right now, I have the hope, and my hope is in God. Just tell some. Make the confession. And he said, do not waver, because he is faithful who promised. I'm thinking of that song, Beautiful, Isn't He? Wonderful, Isn't He? Reach in, right past the things that are opposing you, just reach right in and grab hold of that hope of what on what God has said to you, and never let it go. It will change your life, and it will give you the voice to speak hope into other people's lives. It will even excite the unborn. That's the power of God in a word, a voice of hope that's been spoken. Well, if you do not know Jesus, now's the day to know him. I'll be right here if you don't know him, and we'll introduce you to him. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you're taking us deeper, because the Holy Spirit goes deeper inside of God, searches the depths of God. And Lord, we want to go with the Holy Spirit in searching how deep you really are. We love you. We trust you. Our hope is in you. And our faith is activated by our hope that you have spoken and you will perform what you've spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope you got something out of it today. Wear red next week. We will celebrate.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.